A Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation. From Greatest Hits Radio. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Hello and welcome. It's another Confessions podcast from your friends at Greatest Hits Radio. Officially the number one radio station in the world and officially the number one podcast in the world.
I mean, when we say officially, sure. We mean made up by you.
No. Is that,
on
been
our chart.
Universally acclaimed. If you stop people in a street, I don't know, in San Diego, for example, and say, what do you think of the Confessions podcast? They'll go, it's my favourite.
It's my favourite, they'll say, yes.
Yes.
San Diego. See?
I think that's all you have to do is to say it regularly, consistently, yes. And loudly.
And everyone will believe you. Yep.
Apparently that's how it works now.
I'm afraid it is. Anyway, here we go. You might have noticed Sister Susie is still not here because she's having a well-earned rest. What do you think? But she has got a toddler. So what are the chances that she comes back to work for a rest? That's what I'm thinking. Brother Matt is still in his usual kind of guttery kind of place.
Yeah, that's me. Still
Sister
here.
Holly is sort of in charge of everything. So she's in charge of the cupboard of tat and basically Matt and me.
So she's basically at the end of her tether.
I am a bit, by
at the end of her tether. Yeah. And if anything, if you have any legal issues with this podcast.
Yeah, she's the one to go to.
Just give her a call. She's on 0355-444. Coming up, we're going to be wandering down the hard, cold marble steps to the parish notice board for some five-star reviews. A little bit of correspondence there, some Mark Knopfler stuff, and of course you'll get to hear all of the confessions from this week's fabulous Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Tommy's Village Raffle, Sup Up Your Beer and Collect Your Fags, Sam's sitcom-style romantic RAF prank in Shout, Shout, Let It All Out, Linda's Confession, Our Spirits in the Material World. But first, we are heading back to school with Mr. L's Trip Trouble in L'Express Nacional.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Here's the first of the week, and it comes from Mr. L. That's what he wants to be called, so that's what we call him. Father Simon, Reverend Matt, Sisters Holly and Susie, and the wider congregation, here is my confession. I am Mr. L. Let me take you back to an era when the health and safety demands of a school trip abroad basically amounted to a head count every so often and lights out at 10. There were no allergies, veggies, vegans or risk assessments, no phones with constant updates and tracking by parents. If this trip had taken place nowadays, I don't think any of us would still be in teaching. It was the annual Year 8 and Year 9 school trip to France, a week-long stay at some random hostel somewhere in Normandy, I think. This year we were staying near to Le Touquet Paris Plage. An early sunrise meet outside school, excited pupils would race to get to the back seats, eat far too many sugary sweets on the journey to Dover, and then proceed to be sick on the 9 a.m. ferry crossing.
Lovely.
It's the same every year. After the novelty of driving on the opposite side of the road with a poor quality Disney video playing on a single small screen above the driver's seat, that's entertainment for you, I would endeavour to lighten up the entertainment as we travelled in our rather stuffy coach by pointing out some interesting facts. Or white lies, as we sped through the French countryside. Sitting at the front, I took my turn on the mic. And if you look out on the right side of the coach in the distance, you can see the concrete structure of the Ariane rocket launch. You can also see the rocket in position. Actually, you might like to know the French are very proud of their space missions. Bien sûr, I added for authenticity. It was actually just a construction site for a wind turbine without the blades attached. Yeah. But the white pointy thing looked the part. The rocket certainly never set off from Normandy, but the pupils were unaware of that fact and they were happy to write about it in their daily journals. Mm. Well, this is misleading information. Tomorrow we have a very exciting day planned for you, I continued. In the morning, we're going to take you to the champignon cellars and you'll be able to taste the sparkly drink this part of France is famous for. Champignon sips for everyone. And only when one of them twigged that champignon is a mushroom did the penny drop that they weren't getting some champagne and Mr. L was just winding them up hilariously.
Hilarious, Mr. L.
However, what I really want forgiveness for is for the last morning. The coach was parked on a slight downward slope in the hostel car park. The pupils had to be on the coach by 10. All bags were stowed, rooms tidied, inspections made, no lost property, breakfast eaten, fond farewells and au revoirs made to the owners, and we were all aboard the coach. The door swung shut, belts on, I called out. Belts on, I called out.
Comma.
Yes. Head count made. He's not an English teacher. Head count made, but soon there were concerned faces. The driver looked towards me with a blank expression. I passed a confused look to the trip leader and mouthed the words, "It won't start." The other staff muttered that the coach would not start. Pupils leant forward to earwig, and gradually the rumour travelled from front to the back. The coach won't start. We're stuck. It's broken down. We might be here all summer and we've run out of centimes. They were,
yes,
old French currency, centimes, 100 centimes in a franc.
Right.
Okay, that's from back in the day. Ken kept trying, but there was absolutely nothing coming from the engine. It was zilch, kaput, not a sound. Time for me to grab the mic and make the announcement. Okay, everyone, we have a problem. Coach won't start. But I've had a chat with Ken, and we think we can sort it. Everyone, please get off and move behind the coach. If we can push the coach down the slope, we might be able to bump start it. So, if we could we all get off, please? No need to rush. The pupils all got lined up, leaning with their palms and shoulders on the rear of the coach, most leaning on each other. In a great scrum of year nine exertion and enthusiasm, "Everyone ready? Okay, Ken, here we go." With a lot of pushing, groaning, an opportunity for some pupils to show off their strength, the coach gradually started moving and suddenly the engine burst into life, a splutter here and there, and then to loud cheers, it was blowing out the exhaust. We could go home after all. "Everyone back on," I instructed. "Well done, belts on again." Quick second, head count. The hostel owners and staff could now really wave us away with a hearty au revoir, and off to Calais we headed. "Well, that was exciting. Well done, everyone," I said. Of course, my confession is the coach was fine.
Ah,
it was just one of my hilarious wheezes, which everyone found great entertainment. So, Father Simon and the blessed entourage, I seek forgiveness not for teasing the pupils with my pranks, but for totally ignoring the health and safety and not writing a risk assessment prior to my joke. But I did create team spirit, fostered a love of adventure and cooperation and physical strength, laced with deception and lies. But no harm was done. The pupils all remembered how it was, and no social media with footage of the prank. Those were the days. Well, I mean, we know that no one likes a prankster or a japester, but is it different on a school trip to northern France if the prankster is Mr. L and he's a teacher?
Yeah, Mr. L sounds really annoying, to be completely honest. Firstly, lying to the children about rocket launches and stuff.
That's good.
Who's even finding that funny? Like, apart from you chuckling to yourself,
Mr. L,
kids aren't finding it funny. If they're not laughing with you, then what's the point? I don't understand. And the champignon, again, not that fun. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Pushing the coach, wasting everybody's time. They could have fallen over. The coach could have crashed into somebody. I don't know. It was a complete mess. Not a good idea. I'm not forgiving this at all.
Brother Matthew, we look to you for sanity.
Yes, it could have crashed. It was all going wrong, wasn't it? I'm going to forgive. I mean, you've got to find some way of coping with a bunch of year nines who will obviously be a bit of a complete nightmare. Also, they were all wearing seatbelts, so it was clearly a bit of health and safety going on there. So well done, Mr. L, for making sure they were all restrained in their seats. Definitely forgiven. And some nice little joke about the champignons and the champagne. Not all of them will have got it because of, you know, they're all year nines, they're all thick anyway. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes.
So year nines.
Yeah, I don't know what are year nines in old money.
Thick.
Is that
year
is that
nine,
second
that's
year?
Third form for you. Third form.
Year. So that's like options.
That's fair enough. No one knows anything.
Yeah,
if you're in your third year, what do you know about anything?
Nothing. That's right. Yes.
You might know a bit about Dungeons and Dragons, I suppose.
Why would they know about that?
Because that's when you get into it.
Do you?
It's on the curriculum.
Maybe you did.
Yeah.
Not now.
No. I think it's Dungeons and Dragons and borrowing status quo albums.
Really? Yes.
Yes.
And nothing's changed.
That is definitely what the kids are up to. Okay, let's turn to the parish notice board. Matt, give us some five-star reviews.
Yes, bienvenue, the five-star reviews. They start with S-Bull7. S-Bull7, five stars. That didn't make any sense. Love the show. After the chat of Confessions Bingo last week, the middle square on the bingo sheet should be Pampas grass.
That's true, yeah.
You mention it every week now. We do since it came up in one of the.
You never know where you're going to see some pampas grass.
Do you know, I saw some pampas grass this morning.
Did you?
At the bottom of my garden, which hadn't been there before.
Your garden?
I mean, it looked like pampas grass. Yeah, exactly. Well, the it backs onto a cemetery, so I'm not sure what kind of message that's sending. probably not a good one.
So hang on. People might walk past your house and go, some swingers in there.
Yes. I mean, they'll be in the cemetery when they're walking past. So hopefully their minds are on other things other than, you know, that. Liz Adams says, five stars. Hi. End of message. Is well done, Liz. Thanks for getting in touch. But five stars is all that counts. I'm not sure they don't worry about that.
Liz, is there anything else you wanted to say?
No. This is fine by me, Liz. Welsh D says five stars. So great to have all the confessions in one place. I usually miss confessions on the radio, so I love catching up with it on the pod. Well, that's what we're here for, Welsh D. It would be nice if you could make time to listen to us, you know. 4 till 7. Listen we're literally
the,
here.
And we're on the Rayo app if you just listen again.
If you could. Mm. And finally, Sexy Burrito 89 says, five stars, what can I say? This is greatest podcast to have ever landed on this planet.
That's what I say.
This is greatest podcast to have ever landed on this planet. That's what he says. Sexy Burrito 89, hashtag emoji planet. Oh, because of the planet. Well done.
Yes.
Sexy Burrito 89. Simon's fantastic, particularly when he does accents. Matt is so funny. Susie's drink of the day is fab. And Classy Holly guards the cupboard to tatter so well. Thanks for keeping me company when out walking my dog, David.
That's a strange name for a dog.
It is. David.
I like that, though, when dogs have really formal names.
If I ever get another dog, I'm going to call it Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson the lead singer of AC/DC or from the erstwhile cricket commentator?
I think, it would be just another Brian Johnson.
A different Brian Johnson. Oh,
I would want to call it first name and second name. So in the park, you'd be calling for Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson!
Would it not have your last name because it's part of your family?
No, it wouldn't be part of
your family. No, that would be ridiculous. Not ridiculous like calling your dog Brian Johnson.
What about...
Stop sniffing that, Brian Johnson! No, that doesn't sound right, does it?
No, it absolutely doesn't. Anyway, that was very good. But Sexy Burrito.
Well, there must have been 88 other Sexy Burritos. I wonder whether that's a thing with the kids.
Or Sexy Burrito was born in 1989, probably.
Right. Why would you need to tell people that you were born in 1989, Sexy Burrito? Something going on there.
And how can a burrito be sexy anyway?
Well, I don't think we want to go into that.
I don't know.
That's right. Good answer, Holly. We don't know, Simon.
We don't know.
Let's move on.
But I'm imagining how it could be.
Well, let's not imagine anymore and move on
to... I'm going to do a little illustration.
Ad lib reaction.
Anyway.
There it is. Holly, what have you selected from the notice board?
Sorry, Simon's got to say that line. That's not the script, Matt.
Yeah.
Holly, I was just wondering... what you might have selected from the notice board.
Well, I've got a lovely message here from Kaylee. She says, hi, Simon, Matt, Susie and Holly. I listen every single week to the podcast via the Rayo app. Yes. Unfortunately, I can't leave a five-star review there. Sad times. So I thought I'd email in and express my sincere gratitude for this marvellous podcast. Every Saturday morning, I drop off my daughter at swimming lessons and the car journey takes around 50 minutes. This is the perfect time.
For
Jessica and I to enjoy the Confessions
That's
podcast.
Good.
Thanks for all your hard work, Kaylee in Brighton.
Brilliant. Did she even ask for any tat?
She didn't ask for tat.
Okay, well done, Kaylee.
I could send her something. It sounds like she's enjoying us.
Have we got anything swimming related that we can send from the tat cupboard?
Why is everyone getting all creative? This tat cupboard isn't infinitely big. Okay, we don't have much.
No swimming caps, no floats. No.
Are there any photos of Ken Bruce?
There are, but why would we send her that when we could send a signed Simon Mayo drive
there
time?
You go.
Okay, could do that.
Yeah, that's far cooler and worth more.
Kaylee,
yeah.
definitely doesn't. She didn't want that.
Do you remember dancing in stilettos in the snow? You remember that day in Marillion? No.
Everyone called Kaylee is exactly the same age.
Yeah.
It's an old hit for Marillion.
Kaylee.
Okay, nice.
Dancing in stilettos in the snow. That's literally the only lyrics.
I bet I'll play it later and it will sound nothing like that.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like that.
Keep your additions to the Parish Notice Board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions here. John Matthews, Bill, Jane, Sophie Lucky and Philip Pingree were amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's podcast, which was, of course, Spanish for poncho. That's Spanish for poncho. That's all done and dusted. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. So let's wander in the general direction of the NFB. It's got red letters. It says NFB. You know what that stands for? It stands for Not For Broadcast.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
It's our Mark Knopfler section. And we start with Sarah. Sarah, I know this event happened over 30 years ago, but having your mate, Bev, flash the next door neighbour for a laugh is a little bit creepy and weird.
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's very creepy and weird.
Is it?
Next door neighbour as well. That's a bit, because you never know, do you?
Yeah.
You have to go around and
apologise.
Oh, right, yes. And apologise, quite right.
Well, it all depends, unless Bev was wanting to introduce herself to the neighbour.
Mm. Well, I think the neighbour was staring, and then she just thought...
The neighbour was staring.
And then she thought, I'm just going to go for
The neighbour is not...
Well, maybe the neighbour is a bit creepy. Yeah. Everyone is creepy in this scenario, I think. Nobody comes out of this good.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sarah was the encourager. She was the agent provocateur.
She was very provocateur.
Anyway, it was quite unnecessary. And Sue... Yes, Sue, you, walking into a shop, taking a watermelon and hiding it under your top so that you look like a pregnant lady, and then walking out of the shop actually just counts as...
That's straight out theft.
Yeah.
We can't start. I mean, you can't just write in and say, I steal stuff from shops. Am I forgiven? No, you're not. No, you're not. No.
But if you do send it in, then you feature on the Not For Broadcast, which is... a pretty cool place to be in itself.
It is. So therefore, are we encouraging criminality?
Are we encouraging crime? Wow. Interesting discussion.
I haven't thought about this, yes.
Do give us a ring at any time.
You can ring Holly on her mobile. Yes. 5561. Thank goodness that none of those made it onto the show or we would have been in trouble. So let's go back to the confessions that did make the cut with Tommy's selfish shenanigans in Sup Up Your Beer and Collect Your Fags.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Tommy. Thank you, Tommy. Hello, Father Simon and the Confessional Collective. Hello, listeners.
Oh, hello, listeners.
Don't normally get on. Yes, he's trying to win you over by being friendly. I've got a story to tell that's been itching to get out going back around 20 years now. It's about me, Tommy, not my real name. I'm from a little Yorkshire town, and I moved to a tiny country village near the Yorkshire Dales to be with my soon wife. Yes. Anyway, he moved to this tiny village to be with the woman who was going to be his wife.
Yeah, no.
And ended up on a bit of a sticky wicket, thanks to a raffle at the local pub. So I arrived in this little village, Little Tiddlewick, a quiet, picture-perfect place nestled at the foot of the Yorkshire Dales. Rolling hills stretch as far as the eye can see, dotted with stone walls, sheep and the occasional brave cow. The air is fresh and you can smell peat and wild heather in the breeze. The village itself is no bigger than a handful of houses, a few farms, the village hall and the pub. The heart of the place, really, and let's call the pub the Roaring Cask. I know casks don't roar, but you get the general picture, so I thought I'd change the name. Now, the Roaring Cask isn't your typical town pub. It's definitely a village pub. A local pub, if you will, for local people. It's got dark oak beams, brass fixtures and a sign that looks like it's been there since Queen Victoria's time. Inside it smells of old leather, spilled ale and a hint of the Yorkshire moor. It's the kind of place where the fire crackles in the hearth and the locals sit on high-backed leather chairs, chatting about everything from sheep shearing to ploughing matches. Get on with it, Tommy, I'm saying.
Yes,
okay, we've got the detail. As for the locals, and now my fellow pub dwellers, they made for quite an eclectic bunch. The poshest of them was Sir Reggie Featherstone, a tall, lean chap with a moustache that's meticulously groomed and a tweed jacket for every day of the week. He had the farm up the top of the village along with many, 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 many other village properties in his portfolio. Then there's Lord Percival Percy Puddleton, a broad-shouldered, barrel-chested Yorkshire farmer-turned-aristocrat with a twinkle in his eye and a penchant for vintage Bentleys and pocket watches. These two were the sort who looked down their noses at the rest of us. Mm. We were the townies, and we didn't mix. They'd often give me the cold shoulder in the pub, Father Simon, and alas, it was clear I wasn't on their list of posh enough friends on a busy afternoon in the pub. No, there were much better options to choose from. This is the class system, Father Simon, at its most vivid. Dickens would have understood everything in a trice. So one evening, the Roaring Cask is holding a raffle, and the evening of the draw had come around. Big occasion, lots of pomp. Reggie handed me his handful of raffle tickets with a wink. He said, "Hold."
Here we go.
"Hold these for me, will you, old chap? I'm going outside for a quick Nat Sherman." And before you start wondering, a Nat Sherman is a premium quality sophisticated cigarette.
Oh, of course.
For the upper classes.
Right. Okay.
Off he went outside. Well, the winning numbers were being read out, leaving me with his raffle tickets as well as my own. The room was packed, villagers clutching their tickets, eyes bright with hope. When the draw was announced, I looked down at the tickets in my hand and my heart skipped a beat. I had the winning ticket. I looked over at Reggie, who was outside puffing away on his Nat Sherman, completely unaware. Now, here's where the dilemma kicked in. The ticket in my hand was the winning one, but I'm sure you can guess, dear listener, that it belonged to Reggie. The prize was a luxurious weekend gateway for 8 people, all expenses paid.
Whoa.
Wow.
What was
a raffle?
Raffle, in the pub. What was a broke Yorkshire townie to do now? In that moment, I looked at the ticket, then at Reggie, outside, confidently inhaling poison on his cigarette. And leaning on Percy's old Bentley, who was parked illegally on the double yellows outside. What a quandary, what to do? Well, I did what any skint Yorkshire lad would do. I kept my hand steady, I smiled at the crowd, I waved at the raffle number caller-outerer, I claimed the victory as my own. A few weeks later, my wife-to-be and 6 of our friends had a wonderful weekend away in an all-expenses-paid luxury hotel and spa, and what a wonderful time we had. However, I had, of course, lied, and I had, of course, cheated. Does it matter who I lied to and who I deceived? That is entirely down to the jury. Father Simon, I suppose I seek forgiveness from Reggie, who put his faith in me to look after his tickets and inform me if he'd won. But in my defence, he shouldn't have ignored me so often. And he probably had luxury weekend getaways whenever he fancied one. Because he could afford it.
Yeah.
In fact, his house was probably a very nice weekend getaway. Or gateway, whatever you want to say. So that's the tale. And I think I know which way this is going to go, because I think Sister Holly will speak for the moneyed classes, I think.
The landed gentry.
So Reggie was a snob, which is never a good thing, and so I totally understand that. However, what gives you the right to decide who decides whether they're getting the holiday or not? You know, with the lottery, it could be someone who's a multimillionaire who wins the lottery. Ultimately, they've won it. That's just how it works.
That's the way
it works, you know. And I thought it was extremely unfair that he just took the prize. He kind of should have told Reggie. He should have given him the ticket. And so that's why I'm not forgiving this, I'm afraid. It's just not good enough behaviour. Not good.
No, I didn't even know you could puff on a Nat Sherman either. I didn't know that there was such a thing. Why are you laughing?
Don't. Right, well, I'm going to forgive.
What do you say, Matthew?
Because, you know, Reggie should have said about it. If you're going to enter the raffle, the whole point is you hold on to your ticket and find out whether you've won.
Yes.
And if you're going to go out, and my suspicion is that Reggie was doing the sort of, you know, you're a young man, going to sort me out because I'm going to go outside for my cigarette and you'll bring my prize out to me kind of thing, which is what they do. And it all backfired, didn't it? And what's this raffle doing, giving away Spark?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow.
For
I've only
people.
Ever won
yeah.
a joint of meat at a raffle. All those reasons mean I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
It was very surreal, that one. And the bluster is sort of Boris Johnson-esque.
It is a little,
isn't
it?
That's the way you're going.
Yeah.
And the long gap before I said money classes, I was trying to remember the phrase nouveau riche, but I didn't think of that, so I just said money classes. But you can represent either if you wish.
Okay,
yes.
Right.
As long as the classiest end of the spectrum.
Okay.
Which would you rather be?
The moneyed classes or the nouveau riche?
Yes.
So moneyed classes, that's like landed gentry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So I was
absolutely
right first.
Because nouveau riche would be seen as not quite as classy, actually.
Mm. Yep.
Generally.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks for the clarification.
Good.
Phew,
good.
Glad we covered that.
Cheryl had a strong opinion on this one in the People's Verdict.
But Cheryl says definitely not forgiven. And this is the very first time I have not forgiven after years of confessions. It's low-level, dirty dishonesty from a position of trust, and he's ruined my dinner.
Cheryl, I wouldn't take it quite so personally, I don't think.
You had quite a stern voice on there.
I did. I thought I channeled. I channeled Cheryl. I'm glad I got that out. Yes, I did very well, I thought, that one.
We actually ruined her dinner.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite an early dinner. Quarter to 6.
Quarter to 6? That is early. Yes.
It's one of the early. I'd say it's acceptable. It's a socially acceptable time,
acceptable.
But earlier.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't eat until much later,
feels
but then
like
I'm
high
on the
tea.
Show. So.
Do you ever have a high tea?
High tea. Ooh, that's very classy.
It's
can go with Holly and moneyed classes.
Yeah, high tea. Okay, still to come. Sam gets his revenge at an RAF training camp in Shout Shout. Let it all out. But first, it's Linda's confession. Are spirits in the material world?
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Linda. Linda, thank you very much indeed for sending in today's tale. Father Simon, Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, Sister Holly, and all the congregation listening today. Over 4 decades ago, in 1983, I was around 11 or 12 years of age, and my sister was around 15. Your reaction to this confession, I think, will be a lot will revolve around whether you have an elder sibling, particularly an elder sister. My sister was around 15 years old. My sister had a group of friends, a mixture of boys and girls, which were nice, but they were a bit weird. They often roamed the streets or just spent time at our house. And there was one girl who claimed she was a white witch.
Okay.
Yeah. I would always say, white witches are nice and good and friendly, which is all she kept saying whenever she saw me.
Right. Okay.
You have to admit, Father Simon, that is a bit weird.
It is a bit weird.
I have to say yes.
Yes.
I think that is. Now, as a single parent, my mum worked very hard and would trust us in school holidays to entertain ourselves and not get into too much trouble. However, I was always in trouble or injured because I was a tomboy. There is a difference, though, between tomboy trouble and my sister trouble. For example, one day in the summer holidays, I came home and my sister and all her weird friends were playing with a Ouija board.
Yeah. Mm.
As I walked into the room, I said, what are you doing then? She goes, this is the sister, we're speaking to the dead.
How are we? Right, okay.
The board spells out words. Watch. Oh yeah, I say. What's it spelling out? My sister says, intruder. I said, oh, okay. Who's the intruder? Oh. She says, you are.
Right.
I said, okay, right. Who said that? Who in the spirit world said that I was the intruder? And then my sister said, our dad said it. Now, Father Simon, our father had sadly passed away about 5 years previously, and so this made me very upset, as you can imagine. It was a very nasty and mean thing to say as an elder sister for you. So after walking out of the room crying, I went, this is what I did. I went, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
This is what I did. I'm very upset.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
This is what I did.
Right.
I went around the entire house and turned every photo, picture and china plate on the wall upside down.
Oh.
Every single one. As though the spirits had spoken.
Mm.
I then went out to play with my friends and had fun, forgetting what I had done. When I got home later for tea, it turns out that I'd caused quite the scene. All of my sister's friends were so scared, they were running around screaming in a weird way. None of them would ever come back into our house, not ever. And soon word spread that our house was obviously haunted. People crossed the road to avoid getting too close, and if they did, they crossed themselves to ward away the evil spirits. My mum also found out what my sister had been up to, and she was obviously very unapproving, and so she grounded my sister for a few weeks. Ha-ha!
Mm.
Serve you right, big sister. So only around 10 years ago that we were talking about the good old days, and my sister was a little bit merry, and started to move her wine glass around the table saying, is there anyone there who wants my wine? And I asked my sister if she remembered when she and her weird friends played on the Ouija board at Mum's. The reply was, oh my heavens, yes. And I said, can you remember that you called me the intruder? Oh yeah, I forgot that. It was all a bit of a laugh, wasn't it? A laugh, I said. I told her how much that comment had hurt me, and she was very apologetic once she realised. She was very disappointed in herself that she didn't realise how very sorry it had upset me. She wanted to act big in front of her friends. Anyway, I waited until she was very, very sorry, and then I broke the news to her that it was me that had changed all the pictures, photos and china wall plates upside down in the entire house. She couldn't believe that I would have done something like that. She thought it was the evil spirits.
Ah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, all her friends, as I mentioned, were too scared to ever come into the house again. We saw none of them ever. Well, Father Simon, it obviously wasn't a devil or a bad spirit. It was little old me. And I would like to ask for forgiveness from my mum, for my sister's friends, for scaring them so much that they wouldn't come into the house ever again. And then to get forgiveness from my sister for leaving it over 40 years to tell her the truth, but not asking for forgiveness for turning the photos, pictures and wall plates upside down to her as she hurt me. And actually, it was just very funny. And therefore, I suspect that I may well get some forgiveness from Matthew, but probably not from Holly.
Yeah.
Who doesn't approve of this kind of thing.
No, I mean, pretending to be evil spirits is never good. Running around, turning all the photos and the china plates upside down. I just don't think it's very good. If you were upset, if I was upset, I would want that person to know I was upset. Otherwise, kind of what's the point? Like, I don't know, just going behind someone's back and then turning it all around, like, what's the point?
She's getting her own back on her spiteful sister.
Yeah, but then she didn't tell her about it until 40 years later. I just don't think, well, what was the point in that then?
Mm-hmm.
And so for all those reasons, I'm not forgiving.
Also, it's a silly thing to play with. But anyway, Brother Matthew, what do you say?
Well, I am going to forgive, and here's why. I think it was an ingenious response from the younger sister to turning. Because she could have, you know, thrown a big strop and
like Holly suggested.
Yeah, could have done that, but even better, to make the kids in the other room think that they had been mucking about with the evil spirits, and those evil spirits had turned everything upside down. Fabulous, I love it. Also, why wasn't the White Witch able to sort this out? You'd have thought. This was exactly where you would step into your own White Witch and say, don't worry about that.
We're nice and good and friendly.
We're good and friendly. Watch me turn all the crockery the right way around. Turns out she couldn't do it. And also they didn't come round again. Great. Everyone wins. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We have an interesting tale, I think, today from Sam. This feels a bit like an episode of Dad's Army, but anyway, let's see where we go. In a slightly sort of modern setting. Good day, Father Simon, Sister Holly, and anyone else brave enough to hear this tale, says Sam. Let me take you back to 1981, a glorious, confusing time when I was a freshly minted Royal Air Force firefighter, barely 18 and already entrusted with a fire truck and a keen sense of injustice. Okay, nice. I was based at a sleepy RAF camp in Scotland. After qualifying as a driver, I was temporarily stationed as a driver at a training camp near Cardiff. a place buzzing with young recruits, daytime driving skills and nighttime socialising. It should have been idyllic, but unfortunately, the mechanical transport flight, the MT Gods of the Camp, ran the place like a boot camp for wannabe Marines, complete with morning parades, relentless shouting, and the dreaded weekly bull night. This was not some bovine disco. It's an evening of extreme cleaning, where every recruit becomes a domestic god armed with polish and fear. Imagine 18-man dorm rooms being scrubbed to a surgical standard, bed packs folded with geometric precision, and MT corporal-led pre-inspections obviously over the top, but essential for the following morning's inspection. The corporal had a single room within the barrack block and had to keep discipline, which he was obviously born to do. Which brings us to the heart of the matter. Romance. I had met a girl. A lovely Liverpudlian lass with a smile that could disarm a regiment. Time with her was precious, though, especially because the RAF had a curfew for the female recruits. By 11 p.m, they were bed-checked by female guards and bolted into the barracks. So, when I passed my driving test and knew I'd be heading back to Scotland the next day, I was determined to spend that final evening with my sweetheart. Unfortunately, it coincided with bull night. I pleaded with the barrack block corporal, a man seemingly trained in charm resistance, to let me finish early. I scrubbed, polished, repolished, until I could see my own heartbreak reflected in the floor tiles. But instead of mercy, he extended bull night. Just because he could. He even smirked, knowing it meant I'd miss saying goodbye. Eventually, I was released, just in time for 10 tragic minutes with my girl, before she was locked up by RAF regulation. As I watched her disappear, I made a solemn vow. There would be consequences. The next morning, while the rest of the camp prepared for the station commander's almighty inspection, I was packing up to go back to my Scottish base in Peterhead. I noticed something crucial. The warrant officer's pre-inspection was due in 15 minutes. That's the one before the station commander's Uber inspection. Everyone had left except me, and I was still fuming. I pushed two single beds together in the large 18-man room, transforming them into a romantic double. I took two perfectly folded bed packs and lovingly merged them into one. As the pièce de résistance, I scavenged a couple of weeds from outside, popped them into milk bottles, and placed them in vases at each bedside. The room now looked like a low-budget honeymoon hotel, a real romantic revolution against military madness. I admired my muteness upgrade momentarily. Then footsteps, the corporal, the loud, shouty, 5'2" warrant officer with his slashed peak cap, thinking he was the drill sergeant in full metal jacket. Already en route, coming up the stairs, I panicked and executed a flawless wardrobe dive, pulling the door shut just as the two titans entered. The explosion was immediate. The warrant officer's tirade could have stripped paint. The corporal, completely bewildered, stuttering to explain, was made to remake the room at top speed due to the station commander, as he confirmed he was on his way. He had to remake two bed packs, and I could hear him cursing and swearing under his breath. And in the chaos, he even hid the milk bottle vases in the very wardrobe that I was hiding in. My heart thudded against the wooden locker like a kettle drum, but he didn't see me. Once they finally left, red-faced and flustered, I emerged, tiptoed toward freedom, but stopped. I turned back. And with a devilish, invincible grin, I redid the romantic setup all over again. Yes, I replaced the double bed. I refolded the hybrid bed pack. I brought the flowers back to their rightful place. I found a pen and paper, and this time placed one large note the side of the bed saying, "Love you. Kiss, kiss." And then I ran faster than I ever had run in PT, and I caught my lift to the station. By the time the train crossed into England, I felt safe enough to laugh out loud, scaring a carriage full of commuters. Worth it, but tried to imagine the carnage that the station commander would walk into the room. And later that year, I heard about the aftermath, and this is what had happened. The station commander walked in with the WO and corporal to inspect the room and took one look at the lover's suite and went ballistic. An inquiry followed. Suspects were interrogated. No one owned up. My fellow roommates were shouted at for 2 days straight and punished with two extra bull nights. Oh. More stringent morning inspections resulting in compulsory haircuts, extra shoe shining. I kind of felt guilty. However, to the lads of the barrack block, I'm sorry you had to scrub sinks that you'd already scrubbed and polish things that should never be polished. To the corporal, I hope your promotion prospects weren't properly dented. To the warrant officer for enhancing his blood pressure in a rage, and to the train passengers who saw me cackling alone in a corner somewhere near Birmingham. Thanks for not alerting security, but Father Simon and Sister Holly, do I have your forgiveness? I think what's amazing about that particular story is the fact that he dived into the wardrobe, and I didn't think people did that unless they were on television. And he survived that, and then went back and redid it all over again. That takes determination, and I like the sound of Bull Knight. Anyway, what do you say, Sister Holly?
Well, the thing is, you know, I was on Sam's side, actually, for most of this story. The corporal sounded actually pretty nasty and not a nice piece of work. And so I was kind of on Sam's side for most of the story. The main problem here is they blamed everyone else. He just ran off to Scotland and everyone else got the blame. They had to deal with the shouting, the extra Bull Nights. I mean, how awful. Yes. They had to have extra haircuts. I don't know why that was in place, but they did. I mean, it just sounded absolutely awful. I felt very, very sorry for them. And so that's why I'm not forgiving this, purely for everyone else who took the punishment on his behalf.
Sam wrote, I scrubbed, polished and repolished until I could see my own heartbreak reflected in the floor.
That's,
I mean,
so sad.
Poetry.
Very, very poetic. Mm. What do you say, Brother Matthew?
So I'm going to forgive. It feels like a bit of an overreaction for just, you know, rearranging some beds to have everyone doing the Bull Knight twice over and then get shouted at for 3 days. That doesn't seem very fair. Also, given it was a sort of romantic setup, how thick is this corporal that he didn't work out that it was the bloke who he denied the fun times of the lovely lady? That would have been my first thought, straight on the case. But sadly, the corporal was a bit thick. So probably deserved to know he was going good, didn't he? Yeah. So for all of those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
I suspect the relationship didn't last, otherwise Sam might have mentioned it.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
And I'm also intrigued by the whole diving into wardrobe thing, because I did, as I mentioned, I did think it's the kind of thing that happens in a sitcom or in a movie. Have you ever hidden in a wardrobe, Holly?
That hasn't happened to me yet, no. But I feel like it's the kind of thing that happens on school trips, actually.
Yeah, when you're a kid, I remember doing it as a kid. Mm. You hide in wardrobes then, but like during hide and seek and stuff like that.
But then you disappear into Narnia, and that gets
that is true, but never.
Did you not ever have that thing where, like, I don't know, you'd be on a school trip and then it'd be like, oh, you're not allowed in other people's rooms, and then the teacher comes in and then someone hides in the wardrobe?
Is that what you did? I think it sounds like
I wasn't the one who hid in the wardrobe.
Who hid in the wardrobe? What was his name?
It wasn't a he. I went to a girls' school.
Right, of course. Cassandra, probably. Cassandra. Rainbow Trout, whatever. All what? The moneyed classes with their disregard for norms when it comes to names.
Speaking of names, I've been trying to work out how Bull Knight gets its name when what it is obviously fanatically, obsessively cleaning, 18 guys cleaning something. How does that become called Bull Knight?
My instinct is that there will be people in the military listening who, because it strikes me as it's going to be something that is all over the military. It's not just, I think it was an RAF place, wasn't it? So I think it's going to be Army, Navy, the whole lot. They will all have, there'll be a reason why it's called Bull Knight, and it'll be affecting all of them. That's my prediction.
In which case, get in touch.
Yeah, do it.
Because that'd be a nice thing. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. That is also where you send your emails and your comments and your general praise for this number one podcast around the world.
Mm-hmm. And around the world, everyone.
Brother Matthew has this week's secret code phrase.
Yes, and the secret code phrase this week is off for a Nat Sherman. Off for a Nat Sherman is this week's secret code phrase.
And you can look them up. They are very, very, well, they were very expensive cigarettes.
Very, yes. Yes, gold, weren't they? Gold cigarettes.
Smoking
that.
Gold and platinum. It's gone galactic.
Yes, they have. That's what I've heard.
Anyway, thank you very much, Steve, for listening. If you want to send in that code phrase, you can thread me at Mr. Simon Mayo. Just post it on Blue Sky, which is more normal. Or you can just stop Matt in the street.
Feel free to tell him.
Mm. Remember to share the podcast with a friend in a shower or a bath. But obviously preserve water and don't sprinkle if you don't need to sprinkle.
Don't sprinkle?
Sprinkle?
Yeah.
What are you sprinkling in your bath?
No, oh, water, like in the garden.
This is definitely not going to go down this road.
No, in the garden, they have sprinklers.
Sprinkle in the garden?
Yes.
Well, I thought you were in the bath
two
minutes ago.
Same, I was confused.
No, you're absolutely right, that's fine. We can talk about sprinkling in the garden. Good talk.
It's also a good way of stopping the foxes, but anyway, that's another kind of sprinkling.
Oh, right, yes, it is.
So, share your podcast, done that. Leave us a glowing 5-star review.
Done that.
We'll be back next week with another bunch of top confessions. Until then, from the cupboard of Tat, Sister Holly says,
see you later, alligator.
From his incredible smelly.
Yes, go on.
And filthy gutter. Brother Matt.
Yes, bye.
Thanks for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
The lights go on in case we do something that's any
good. That's hilarious.
That's hilarious.
Is Matt going to do something hilarious again? Put the lights on.